and what is the definition of food grade to industrial grade, and that's what we're stating today.
The first press is always the best press.
Welcome everyone to episode 116 of the Send Nutrition Podcast with your host Brian and Peter today. And today's podcast is on, is your oil really cold press? Sen Oil, the original and the best. How are you, Peter?
Brian, that's very impressive. How long did it take you to think of that one?
A couple of moments, but we have a very exciting show ahead of us today because we're going to debunk, we're going to expose some truths, and I think it is actually a right time to do this.
Yeah, I hope our listeners are sitting and sort of comfortable, hopefully with a glass of water or a glass of wine in their hands. But look, we don't normally respond to every barking dog, but I think, you know, there's enough of those barking dogs that we need to sort of set the record straight today. So
yeah, well, especially when we were the pioneers of the type of oil to feed your horses. So if you rewind nearly 10 years ago, Peter and I, we came into the industry not wanting to have a brand or a company, but we wanted to feed a horse the right profile of omegas in an oil for a performance horse in particular. And that is one that matches grass. And we chose flaxseed oil, or as it was known, linseed oil. But we're going to go into what those terms are and where they come from, but also something that's quite alarming in the industry and it is quite unregulated to expose what they actually truly mean.
Yeah, Brian, do you want to go maybe just into the, you know, into layman's terms of obviously what a flaxseed oil is, what a linseed oil is, and obviously, you know, maybe how they differ?
Yeah, so firstly, flaxseed oil and linseed oil, they both originate from the linseed, but the terms actually mean something totally opposite. So when you're looking at the label of an oil, if it has flaxseed oil, it means it's food grade. And if it says linseed oil, it means it's industrial grade.
Yeah, that's well said, Brian. And just to further point into that, just to simplify it even more. So flaxseed oil, obviously food grade, linseed oil, industrial grade. And now our listeners are probably going, well, yeah, but how does that happen? So what happens is the flaxseed oil is the first press, and then the linseed oil is the second press.
Yeah. Getting those terminologies right off the bat, globally, flaxseed oils, in particular in America and Canada, is that food grade and can be consumed by humans. And then that's obviously, we're trying to transfer that into animals. When you're looking at linseed oil, you often see that in hardware stores for the timber, the cricket bats, all those timber kind of applications. And so when you first recognize and see linseed, you know it's at a lower quality, and Pete's going to take you through exactly why this is.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty complicated process, but I'm going to try to simplify it sort of as you know, as best that I can. So if our listeners can imagine when a mill obviously, you know, has the linseeds themselves, I'll go through the process of what happens pretty much from start to finish. So if you can imagine, truck rolls up, they dump the linseeds. Linseeds get cleaned, dust is removed, and this is where you get your first pressed oil. So the first press is always the best press. So basically from the first press, it goes down through very minimal processing. You know, there's no need to decanter, very minimal filtering, and that oil gets stored pretty much as flaxseed oil, and that's the stuff that you see in the health food shops in Australia and around the world as flaxseed oil. So then let's take one step back and go, what happens after the first press? Obviously, there's still seeds left over. And what that is called, that's called the cake, the linseed cake, which is, you can imagine, you know, a pretty awful cake. There's still some fat left in there. And that gets transferred over to an expeller where a second press happens to try to yield as much of the leftover oil in that particular seed as possible. But in order to do that, they need to cook that seed, or they need to roast that seed, or they need to heat that seed anywhere from 80 to 90 degrees to maximize, you know, that other 25-30% of the oil that's left in there. And that's what it's called, a second press.
Yeah, that's well explained, Peter. With that second press, you are heating it up to that 90 degrees. And when you look at the whole nutrient profile of the oil, that means that it is poorer quality, but also has less nutrients, it's less stable. So it's already got a rancidity or oxidation profile that exists. And they want to get the most out of that second pressing with the linseeds to get their yield higher. But then that's why it is termed industrial grade, because it is of a poorer quality. To even go further, they may add chemicals to get more yield. And then also this may not be approved for animal use.
Yeah, yeah, Brian, you took the words out of my mouth. So basically, once the second press is pressed, it needs to go through a process of decantering, because obviously there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of sludge, there's a lot of debris, obviously, because it's been cooked and it's not obviously food grade quality. So it needs to get decanted, it needs to get filtered, and then there's a process called degumming. So what degumming is, it's a step that helps to basically remove the mucilage, which is a sticky substance. And what they do is, by mixing the oil with water and citric acid under a vacuum, at around about 80 to 90 degrees, they basically clear all the impurities. So the oil, you know, might look crystal clear, but it's gone through that processing. And a lot of those oils, you do get up to 2% water. So you might, if you can imagine an oil is 100% fat, just because of that process that, that they do with the degumming, it actually leaves the water in the oil. So you might be paying for 100% oil, but you're only getting 98% oil and 2% water. And that's the, you know, that's the side effect, obviously, of the processing of the second press.
Yeah, so that second press is termed raw or refined linseed oil. And you may notice it on shelves. There is limited regulations in Australia in terms of where it can be sold. We know it's a poorer quality. We know that ingesting this, you would not ingest it as a human. So Peter and I and at Sen, we are like, okay, well, if it's not food grade, then why is the horse going to ingest it? Like, we want to look after these animals the best they can. And it's because that oxidation in that raw or refined oil contains free radicals. And we'll go into what long-term cell damage they cause in a horse, but we'll do that a bit later after we address the pressing. So, and as Peter said, we could probably keep it into one sentence. If it's not first cold press, then it's not cold press.
Brian, once again, that's a very well-coined term, and I'd like to echo that and say, if it's not a first cold press, it's not a cold press. So there's a lot of smoking mirrors in industry. There's, you know, there's brands sort of popping up everywhere with, you know, flaxseed oil and it's cold pressed. And, you know, there's some companies that are doing the right thing, obviously putting the raw linseed oil on their products. There's, you know, there's other companies doing the right thing with organic flaxseed oil, you know, which is sort of $70, $80, $90 for a 5 litre. But one point I'd like to make is that we source all our oil directly from the mill. So basically we get to control the full manufacturing process. We know exactly what goes into our products. We offer 110% guarantee on our products, always being first cold pressed. And if there are out there companies saying that they've got the same product as what we have, trying to sell for half the price, I'd like to know how they're doing it, buying directly from the mill and selling it for half the price. It's impossible.
Yeah, 100%, Peter. And when you look at the label and it says cold press, don't take that as word that it is first cold press, because it should be termed that. In Europe, they're looking at the regulations about this in all oils, because even in the olive oil industry, you've got the extra virgin olive oil, which is the only one that humans should consume. So if you want to think about it in flaxseed oil terms, we have an extra virgin flaxseed oil.
That's very well said, Brian. And I look, I echo those thoughts as well. And because the industry isn't really regulated too much in animals in Australia, you can pretty much put linseed oil, or you can put flaxseed oil, or you can put cold pressed. And there's a lot of companies trying to coin the, you know, the term cold press. But I'd be asking them, is it a first press? If it's not a first press, then it's not a cold press. And a second question is, I'd be asking, is it a food grade? If it's not a food grade, well, then it's not a flaxseed oil. It's a raw linseed oil, or it's a refined linseed oil.
That's well put. And refined linseed oils or raw linseed oils are not 100% natural because of that heating process. And that abnormally changes the nutrient profile of the oil, not just the omegas, but that oxidation.
Yeah, 100%, Brian. So it's very important, I think, to, you know, whether you're using our product or using someone else's product, or you're looking at perhaps, you know, starting your horse on a flaxseed oil, I think reputation is key. And, you know, if you go to your supplier, even if it's not us, and you know, you ask them point blank, is it a first press? Is it food grade? If they start umming and ahhing, I think, you know, you've got something to worry about.
Yeah, that's right. And at the end of the day, it's for our horse's health as well. We're not trying to take shortcuts and feed them something that is not going to contribute to their overall health. As we mentioned at the start of the podcast, Peter and I looked at the array of oils in the industry 10 years ago, and it was heavily onto those seed oils like rice bran, canola. And times have changed, and we're getting more wiser. We're looking to nature. grass or pasture, fresh pasture, has a very similar omega ratio or profile to our flaxseed oil. And it's not rancid. It doesn't undergo its oxidation. But when you do feed a horse in domestication and you rely on hay due to the drought and everything, the hay is depleted in that those omegas. So we're trying to replace that in the most natural way possible and the most healthiest form in this oil that we have.
That's well said, Brian. And I just want to add too that the first pressing is actually done at room temperature, which, you know, depending on the mill, it's anywhere between 35 and 40 degrees Celsius. So it's a natural mechanical press. And then obviously with the second press, you're looking at 80 to 90 degrees. So at that temperature, and obviously, you know, the seeds aren't as good with the second press because they've already been pressed once. So, you know, they are trying to get the yield out there. So it's, you know, it's not like you're comparing apples to apples. You're comparing a healthy apple to to a sour orange. Yeah. But one further point I'd like to make as well. When Brian and I kicked off sort of 19 years ago, the oil of choice back then was rice bran. I think everyone was, you know, it was so hot, it was almost going out of fashion that rice bran. I think canola was as well. And a lot of those oils back in the day were refined, bleached and deodorized. So that's RBD, refined, bleached and deodorized. So, you know, when I heard that, I'm thinking, geez, that's something you do to your armpits, you know, not to an oil. And if you're going to be, you know, if you're going to be processing like a natural oil with those chemicals, you sort of go, well, is it really going to be of any benefit to the animal?
And additionally, with their omega profiles, it just didn't make sense. And we're trying to get the horse in the best possible condition for performance or their chosen field. And yeah, as we progress to now, we've got other companies trying to claim that they have our quality, but when you look under the lid, it really is just nearly smoke and mirrors in an unregulated industry.
Yeah, that's well said, Brian. Brian, do you want to just go through briefly maybe the differences, whether you've got four or five different points there, the differences between a first press oil and a second press, which is a raw or refined?
Yeah, so for our listeners to understand, and like this will really bring it right back to what we have just covered. So your first cold pressed flaxseed oil, it's food grade. It's first pressed at room temperature, so below 40 degrees is the definition. It's 100% natural, filler and chemical free, and it's approved for animal use. And furthermore to that, being food grade, if it's in the industry for humans, then that's what we are able to consume. And it has a low oxidation and low rancidity values across the board, suitable for your horse, and has the best nutrient profile, the best taste. On the other side, you've got the raw and refined linseed oil. So this is industrial grade. It's second pressed, as Peter has taken us through. So even second press, there can be multiple pressings, and the second press is done at heat up to 90 degrees, may contain chemicals or fillers or additives to get even a higher yield, and this may not be approved for animal use due to the oxidation values and also the depletion of nutrients and even the fat yield.
Yeah, that's well summarized, Brian. And I think that's what makes our oil such superior to everyone else, that it is food grade, it is approved for animal use. If the oil that you're currently using, you're not sure, maybe reach out to your supplier or whoever you bought it from and ask them whether they have a raw linseed oil or whether it's a flaxseed oil of theirs and whether it is food grade. And most importantly, is it approved for animal use? Because you do need to have that approval.
Yeah, that's well said, Peter. And as you look at the research that's developing in animal and humans, it's not even just that level of omega-3 that's stated on the label. It's actually nearly more important that the oxidation values and the amount of rancidity in the oil is kept to the minimum, because this can be very harmful to a horse if they're consuming this daily.
Brian, as an example, it just come to me. Is it like me opening up a really, really, really good bottle of red wine, having one glass, leaving it on my kitchen table for 3 days at 35 degrees in a heat wave, and then I drink it and it's corked?
Yeah, definitely. But this has actually kind of already happened at the processing part. So
that's scary.
Yeah, so it's basically, when you sum it up, when you have a first cold pressed oil, the degree of oxidation or rancidity is very, very low and it's food grade. Whereas even if you stabilize a raw or refined linseed oil, it's still rancid. So the horse is already ingesting oxidized or rancid oil that's been stabilized. So even when you look at it the rancid oils are a major source of free radicals, which are destructive in the horse over time. So what the research is leading to is it enables oxidative stress in the horse and potentially lead to the development of many chronic diseases they've seen in horses. So I think it's nearly a term of buyer beware, because when you're looking at a label of flaxseed or so-called cold-pressed flaxseed oil, have a think. If it's not first pressed, it's raw refined, my horse may be ingesting more free radicals from that oxidation or the rancidity, and then over time there's that risk of more oxidative stress, and basically you're not promoting the best health in your horse.
Yeah, 100%. From my end, Brian, as I said, if there are brands out there saying, oh, it's the same as sen, it's not the same as sen, because I will guarantee you that there's not many companies that can, well, I can guarantee that there's not many companies out there that have got a food grade, a first press oil, which is an extra virgin olive oil, you know, when you do compare it to that. And especially if it's cheaper than ours. I mean, if they're trying to sell it for the same price, maybe a little bit more expensive, okay, you know, they might have a leg to stand on. But if it's the same as sen oil and it's at $10 or you know, $20 a litre less, I don't know how they're doing unless you know, the label on the actual oil itself is not correct.
Yeah, that's well said, Peter. And there's actually brands out there that are doing the right thing and labeling their linseed oil as raw or refined. And we can only educate you guys on what is in the research and what is the definition of food grade to industrial grade. And that's what we're stating today.
And yeah, on the flip side, Brian, there are other brands out there that have got a food grade flaxseed oil as well, but it's at $80, $85 for, you know, for a 5 liter, where it should be being a food grade oil.
Yeah, and how would you detect an inferior quality oil? It would basically, when you look at all the flaxseed oils on the market, you can't really do it by sight because they've all got different types of refinement. But the biggest thing is the taste and also probably the smell as well.
Yeah, Brian, 100%. As you mentioned, some of the refined ones are going to be crystal clear, almost like water, or maybe not like water, but with a yellow tinge. On the flip side, the ones that haven't been sort of degummed too well, they're going to have like a soot at the bottom, which is like a murky sort of flakes. So a natural first press product should look like a natural oil. It might be a little bit darker in color, but no, you know, like no murkiness, no soots, nothing like that. But I mentioned a smell. It should smell like a linseed on the nose. But most importantly, when you taste it on your tongue, you will know it's a linseed. It should be a little bit nutty, almost, you know, a little bit sweet, maybe a tiny bit of bitterness, but it just, like, you'll know when it's natural.
Yeah, 100%. And when it's fully rancid, it really smells like off fish, and you will definitely know it. The horse will turn its nose up to it. But Peter and I have done a ton of research into this. We talked to a lot of experts in Australia and around the world in terms of trying to get to the bottom of all the terminology, even the food grade terminology. And I've crossed paths with numerous oil industries, particularly in the olive oil industry, and their first reaction to anything food grade is, if it's not a first pressed olive, then it's not cold pressed, and they can't believe that this industry over here is really unregulated.
Well, Brian, I think that's the same, obviously, you know, with the flaxseed in the health food shops. You know, they're all organic flaxseed, or, you know, like they're all food grade organic along those lines. You never see a linseed oil in a supermarket, and that goes for the supermarkets as well, for the olive oil. You know, we both consume olive oil, and we always get the first press one. So, it, maybe because the industry is not very well regulated, no one's really explained it like we have, I think, as well. So, you know, hopefully some people got a bit of helpful education out of this and obviously, you know, use it to their advantage.
Yeah, so in summary, if you are selecting a flaxseed oil for your horse, just question the validity of the term cold pressed on the label. Ask the question, is it first cold pressed? Because if it's not a first pressed flaxseed oil, then it has to be termed raw or refined linseed oil.
Yeah, and I think that's the stigma that's sort of in industry. Everyone's, you know, dropping around cold pressed, which isn't regulated. So this is the problem. You know, you can say what you want on there, you know, without any sort of side effects in terms of repercussions. So we just want to be on the front foot and go, well, as Brian mentioned, if it's not a first cold press, then it's not a cold press. It automatically defaults to a second press.
Yep. And the other alarm bell is, if the container is white or see-through, then there's a lot of research just recently that light is playing a big part in oxidation as much as the oxygen, and any light exposure from a lighter container will increase the rate of oxidation or rancidity in the oil. So that's another tip to look out for as well.
Brian, I would think any company who is actually selling a food grade flaxseed oil would be putting it in a black container.
Oh, 100%, it's a no-brainer.
So maybe you need to question them.
Yeah, so equally important to the omega levels in the oil is that oxidation or rancidity. When we look at free radicals, which are produced in the horse's body as a result of normal metabolism, they need to combat this through their diet with antioxidants. By ingesting more free radicals in a rancid oil, you're just putting more handbrakes on the horse, its performance, and here it's then with the first cold-pressed oil, you're limiting that, but then getting all the health benefits, the most nutrients, the better tasting oil for your horse, which is going to help them thrive and perform at their ability. I think that's about all, Pete. Do you have any parting words?
Yeah, Brian, I'm just going to sort of repeat your coin term once again, which I think is very important. And as we said previously, if the oil is not first cold pressed, then it's not cold pressed. It's full stop. So,
yeah, it's an inferior quality if it's not first cold pressed. And yeah, and as you probably recall in the last few months with like contamination of feed products in other companies, we need to really get serious about the health of our horses and what they're actually ingesting. And if it's not fit for a human, then questions have to be asked.
Yeah, 100%.
So I think that about wraps that one up, Pete. I hope our listeners have got the basics down pat about oils for horses. If it is your first time listening, you might want to go back to a few episodes back to why we choose a flaxseed oil over rice bran, canola, and coconut oil. But if you have any further questions, just don't hesitate to pick up the phone and call our office.
Yeah, Brian. We're closing as well sort of through Christmas and New Year. So Brian will go over just that briefly and also about the users group. It's a swarm of activity in there. So thank you, all the ladies and gentlemen, for your feedback and posts. And Magellan and Jazz are also doing the diet analysis. I think spots are filling up pretty quick before we close, so get in early.
Yeah, it's been very popular, very helpful, getting everyone's diets all in order for that Christmas break. We are closing for pickups in our warehouse from, I think it's the 22nd of December through till the 8th of January. We will be doing a couple of dispatches over the Christmas period, but if you want to get yourself organized, start ordering for that break so you don't have to think about it, yeah, you could do it probably before the 13th of December. So we really thank everyone for all their support this year. And I think like the Send User Group just keeps going from strength to strength. I think there's over 4,000 yep. members now.
And counting. And just as a sneak peek too, we're going to have a couple of new products in a new year as well. So I won't let the cat out of the bag just yet. But I think our customers, our existing customers and possibly new customers are going to be really happy with what we have to offer in the two new products. So
yeah, it's been really exciting, the developments of these new products, and they're from the demand driven by our clients and what we see in the industry where there's shortfalls with the particular products. But from a personal note, Peter and I would just like to thank everyone for liking and subscribing and listening to our podcast, because we had the Spotify wrap up, which everyone's like sharing on their timelines, and we really value it. And we're in a lot of listeners' top three podcasts they listen to. So we like to thank you for all your support. And we created in 2023 over 700 minutes of listening. So that's over 11 hours of podcasts this year, Pete.
Brian, I think for our listeners, that might be like two trips to and from some big event driving around Australia. Yeah,
true. That's where we get the best feedback, when a trainer or a horse owner binges like 9 episodes in one and is like, oh, this is great information. And we will continue it all through 2024. We'll have more special guests. We'll try and set the record straight on a lot of common themes in the industry, but most of all, it's for the betterment or the benefit of the horse at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's well said, Brian. We'll be back again next week.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Cheers.